Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to the Moist Listen to Wrestling podcast that you've never heard of. This is the podcast for smart marks, so anyone listening is in the wrong place. Learn to sell. My name is Matt Knight of the Checkmate with Bishman Knight podcast. I'm joined by the two worst co-hosts on any podcast, my good friends Roadhouse and Beef McGinnis. Welcome to Swanton Pod. Big week in wrestling, guys.
Big week.
Huge week, huge.
CM Punk is back.
That he is.
It's time! It's time! It's Vader time!
So, let's just start off with it. Huge week. Huge pop.
Huge.
That gave me the chills. Gave
I still have
me,
them.
Absolutely.
Like to quote Taz, can't get rid of these goosebumps, baby.
I've been erect ever since.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed of that.
You promise?
Yeah.
So, I equate it to, so I grew up as a WCW baby. I didn't get to do the F. Because my parents were like, oh, no, it's too edgy. Obviously, I've gone back and watched.
Well, little did they know that WWF was the cartoon version, and you had, like real gang violence in WCW yeah. After NWO and everything. Now Glacier, Alex Wright, Wrath and Mortis, we won't get into that. But
Disco Inferno?
Dude, wrestling's real.
You don't fuck with the disco.
For life.
I also like the different iterations of the world orders that came after.
Oh, you know, yeah. Wolfpack, all of them. I mean, there was like
Didn't
four
Eddie
different
one?
Ones.
And I want to say this because it's an awesome thing you said, Wolfpack. Why is it that JR always fucks up Pack and Pac? All right, and so he calls Pack Pac. And he in WWE, he called X-Pac, X-Pac.
PTSD from Vince yelling at him for it.
I thought it was all the barbecue sauce. He was making fumes or something like that.
I swear, Vince is still in his ear. Like, from time to time, you'll hear him, like, stutter, and it's just Vince like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think that's the droopy side of his face that you're seeing. Oh. Is that too much?
Oh, too much. Ooh, that was teetering that
it's
line
okay.
Right there.
Only the smart marks will get it. None of those are listening.
No, none at all.
No, we're safe.
So back to what I was saying. You know, I was growing up on WCW. Obviously, went back, watched Attitude Era. It was great, but I equate this to the bigness of the NWO forming. Getting to see Hogan join the NWO and form the NWO.
You're not calling it what I've seen in forums is WCW 2.0, are you?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
I think it's
good.
It's.
I thought I was going to have to mute your microphone for the rest of the episode.
That's fair. I think it's its own entity. What I'm saying is that was such a huge integral part of wrestling history mm-hmm. that. I mean, there's been plenty of returns since then. I haven't had that same feeling until the CM Punk return.
Yeah.
That's me personally. I mean, how did you guys feel?
I think I texted you that I was like, I had chills.
Yes.
I caught it late. The wife came in as soon as his intro started and decided that she wanted to sit down next to me and start watching TikTok. So I contemplated her murder in my head.
I think we both did.
I almost sent her to your house.
No, because I was going to send mine to yours.
Right. They were both going to be homeless, if I remember that. That's
we
the
didn't
conversation.
Care.
No, it was probably the most enjoyable thing since Sting coming down from the rafters.
100%.
And I don't like CM Punk. Whoa, don't beat me up here. I love the fact that he came out. I like what he's doing. As far as when he was actively wrestling, never liked him. I'm optimistic that I'm going to like him. But even as much dislike as I had for his original character, persona, whatever that may be, I was excited to see him there.
Absolutely.
For sure.
The opposite goes for Brock Lesnar. I like Brock Lesnar as an athlete, but I hate every time he shows up.
Because you know what it's going to be. I mean, it's very cut and dry. He's going to come in.
I don't know, man. The man bun.
I dig it.
I mean, he's definitely going face for that. But so the CM Punk thing for me, for me, it's like it's Christmas as a teenager for me because, like, you know what you're getting. They didn't say it. They didn't have to say it because they've trusted us to be intelligent enough to be like, oh, he's really going to show up. Like, you're not going to sell us this without him doing it right. It's not going to be the biggest thing in wrestling. It's Christian Cage. Like, not this again. This isn't what we need.
Yeah.
I'm all, like, getting giddy. And my girlfriend's like, so what's happening?
Yeah.
And I got to, like, pause it. I'm like, so this guy.
Did you guys ever see the Tosh.0 episode of It's Sting?
Yes.
The guy, have you seen that?
I don't think I've seen this one.
When Sting debuted in WWE,
okay.
There's this guy, he looked like he was in his mom's house or basement or whatever, and he's going ballistic. It's Sting!
No.
That's exactly the way he sounds.
Oh,
I'll try to find the clip. I'll try to find the clip and edit it in right here.
Oh my God, Sting is on WWE! Oh my God! I can't believe it! Ah! Sting is on there! What?
And it's that's what I can equate the kind of my internal reaction, because I'm a Sting guy too, and I was,
absolutely,
I wasn't quite as giddy as he was when Sting came to WWE, but when I saw that, you know, that crow on the Titantron, almost the same chills. But I do think CM Punk's was bigger, because you didn't know if he's ever going to come back.
Yeah, exactly. That's
And here was the other thing with it, though. You know, Sting coming to AEW, huge deal. I don't care what anybody says, whether you like Sting, whether you don't like Sting. He's now been WCW, he's been WWE, and now he's been AEW, and been an integral part.
Let's not forget the Joker, Sting, and TNA.
I want it to come back.
I want him to go heel and just murder Darby.
Yes.
And just be like, ha! And you just know. You're like, yes.
It's Joker's.
Yes, it's this is what we want. Bring this back.
I would love that, actually.
I want to see that almost as much as I want to see Paul White debut as his character from The Waterboy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know there was talks
Captain
about
Athena.
That?
Captain
Insane. You know there was talks about that, because, like, Khan is close to the guy that, like, directed it. So there's...
Really?
They could totally get that. If they really wanted to, I mean, they're already trying to get, like, WWE's getting Karrion Kross with the Mortal Kombat.
Well, I mean, if they wanted to really, like, bring in other audiences, get Adam Sandler to be the water boy and be his manager to the ring. Like, he's doing what he loves. He's the water boy.
And you know Adam Sandler would be 100% in. Even if it's a one-off or even a couple weeks, Adam Sandler would be like,
you can do it digitally. Just cut promos for this man, you know? Yeah. Like, that's tall. So my friend Captain Insano's coming in. That's, I'd drive to wherever they were going.
He looks like he needs some water, and I'm gonna go get him some water.
How old are you, son? 34.
You're 11 years old, right? 33.
One of the best scenes. I don't know, man. I'm excited about CM Punk. I'm excited to see whether or not we're gonna see a major ring rust out of him. Or if
I have heard reports that he looks spectacular
because he's doing heels.
Yes.
So he's actually had that in between of, I need to actually get in the ring. So for me, though, like you were saying, not being a CM Punk guy, I wasn't always big on, like, his work. By now, the 7 years that he's been gone, there's so many more people that have... So it's not really, like, his work that I'm looking forward to, his the way that he tells story. I'm ready for him to get over this smiling, happy Paul, you know. No. I want you to start murdering people.
Yes, absolutely.
I need you to start. I want you to kill Darby Allin. You keep talking about him wanting to die.
I'm so glad that they didn't, because of him coming out of MMA, they didn't immediately have Jake Hager come out and try to do something. Like, I'm glad they're staying away from that. The fact that he was in MMA, I think he was still actively training, and I think his wind is going to be better. I don't think he's going to be as easily gassed in the ring. Not that he was ever easily gassed, but he was never, like, one of the best in shape guys.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out with that cutoff on, man, I mean, his arms look bigger than they ever had.
Well, I'll say, you know, looking towards his last match in WWE, if I'm not mistaken, was Money in Bank, right? Mm-hmm. With John Cena.
Yeah.
So if you go back and watch that match, first of all, great match.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal.
Great crowd reaction. It's the first time I've ever seen a crowd be so behind somebody in his own hometown. And it just gives me chills thinking about it. If you watch that match, he has some weight on him. And on top of that, if you...
The champ is here!
And on top of that, if you watch that match, there's a lot of really fast high points, but then there's also points where CM Punk's in a headlock for 2 minutes. So I'm not 100% sure if all this extra training has been because he's worried about his in-ring or because of heels, but I really, really think his first match with Darby Allin is going to be the tell-tale, because Darby Allin's young. He works his ass off.
Who wins?
That was going to be my question, and my remark was going to be, you're going to know a lot about it in the first 5 minutes, because Darby, I mean, my God, when they face 2.0 and Matt's out there, oh, it's Sting, and he hits him so, like, God, I watched it back 4 times. The way that he hits people is just, you're going to know.
Mm-hmm. But that's a great question.
Yeah.
Who wins?
In Chicago, do you give it?
Chicago wins. That's the answer.
Oh, 100% Chicago wins.
No, but I mean, how do you book that match?
The only thing that I will not be okay with is some kind of false finish.
Oh, yeah. No.
Unless...
somebody has to be pinned.
Unless that's when we get Daniel Bryan.
Is there a time limit?
I can see that happening, but why would we have Daniel Bryan caught up in that huge storyline when there can be so much else? I mean, Punk obviously came back, and he's putting over Darby Allin. Darby 100%. Allin's already over. He doesn't need to be put
at
over
all.
But that match with CM Punk is going to put Darby Allin over. It's just
level.
Like, I was on a forum the other day, and people are talking shit about Orange Cassidy, saying he sucks, this, that, and the other. I'm like, okay, that's his gimmick. He does suck, but he's over.
You know who gets it? Sting gets it.
Yeah.
Sting wanted to do that stuff, and that tells you a lot about the industry, because Matt, you know who Hardy. Knows it? Sting.
Matt Hardy gets it.
Exactly.
And Matt Hardy's known to be an asshole in person.
Absolute
and not
asshole,
wanting to
sure.
work with anybody.
So time out on that. One of the greatest AEW moments so far is Orange Cassidy and Sting's little bit they had.
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
Oh,
like, that
my
was
God.
Beautiful. Yeah. Like, and Sting initiating. Not Orange doing it. Sting being like, you want to go?
The part of that that got me was the Sting's like nonchalant, no motivation, beating on his chest. Okay, give him the half thumbs up on it.
He gets it. He's like, oh, we're both going to get over with this, brother.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's no real way until we get to the moment and see how CM Punk does, how Darby reacts to this big moment that not necessarily he's been in yet, that we are going to know how this match is going to end. That's what blows my mind. Do you bring CM Punk in and in his debut match, he goes ahead and starts putting the young talent over?
Yeah.
Or do you bring him in and let him have his second big Chicago moment?
Yep. Well, we know it's not going to be Bray Wyatt that interferes in the match. His non-compete, if what I read is true, is October 29th, which that's perfect. Alley. That's a perfect time of year for
if he wants to do something
a fiendish character.
Spooky.
But so here's the thing. Do you bring in Bray Wyatt as a fiendish character, or do you bring him in as a cult leader type character?
I think you bring him in as a cowboy. His name's Wyndham, so you bring him in as Black Jack Wyndham.
I don't hate it.
I was being
Depends
completely sarcastic, but the thing is that I like about AEW and everything that they're doing, it's such a breath of fresh air because they'll try anything.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
That's one conversation that I think we had kind of had via our Facebook group is, NBC Universal is mad that the SmackDown roster is so stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, WWE shareholders and the board is who is deciding the bookings of their matches. And when corporate America gets involved in the creative process, it's never a good thing.
Nope.
With this, you've got Tony Khan, and you've got the wrestlers that he listens to, and you've got the fans that he listens to.
And he loves it.
And you have the money from Daddy to back it up.
And he's got, he's like, that's the thing, too. Say that Daddy is backing a lot of that, but Tony's...
And I think
Tony isn't hurting.
I think the reason that I hate when people say it's WCW 2.0 so much is because Ted Turner, he liked wrestling, but he also hated Vince McMahon.
100%.
And his whole goal was we're gonna beat WWE, we're gonna pound him into the ground, and that got to the forefront of everything that they were doing, their bookings, how they treated their talent, their contracts, everything else, which is why you had guys like Nash sitting on his couch after WCW went out of business. Because his contract was extended for so long, he's got guaranteed money in his pocket.
Yeah. Why would you get off your couch?
AEW, Tony Khan's whole attitude is he's doing it to produce a quality product. And that's the reason he says he's not competing with WWE. And I believe that.
They're also, they don't make wrestling. They make content. There's no way that the way that they cut those shows, that's not a wrestling show.
Yeah.
But to the Punk thing, my question is there a time limit? Do we know? Because if you don't want to have a finish, because they did it with Cody and Darby, their first match.
That's true.
They had that.
Was that an unsanctioned
match? No. That was the first, I believe, like one of the first matches they had on either Dynamite or one of their first shows was Darby and him, and they went.
Wasn't it 20 minutes?
Yeah, they went a full 20.
Yeah.
And that, like, everybody was like, oh, Darby. And then when they had that little back and forth where it kept getting closer and closer. And I wouldn't mind seeing that where, Punk is put him through the ringer and is about to put him out, and then that time limit just...
I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah.
Because if you want to keep them both in air quotes clean, because we're on a podcast, like, that's how you do it. I'm not mad if they do pin one or the other, because I trust them to...
Especially if it keeps the storyline going and it allows it to progress without giving the fans, they buried
whoever
they buried
on
Darby
that night, because they're going to say that they buried some. Oh, well, they buried Punk at home. That's WWE.
But see, the only comeback I have to that, however, is instead Punk came back saying that he's not here really for himself. He's here to help and train the younger guys.
True.
Also for himself.
For himself. 100% for himself. But he's here. He wants that younger generation. He wants to know if he can still keep up with them. And he wants to train them. He wants to give them that oomph that he finally found with the pipe bomb.
So since Punk returned, I haven't watched Dark or Elevation. Has Colt Cabana been on either one of those?
You know, I've wondered, because whenever he first said, oh, there's some people in the back, I mean, your mind has to go to, are you going to, like, because on Dynamite, I thought he was going to call out Colt. I have somebody I want, Colt, call out Colt. If it is actually squashed between them, if it is amicable, like, we would, I'd love to see
a Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels moment.
Like, I got chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't care whether it's squashed between them or not. If AEW doesn't explore that option, they have a huge missed opportunity.
Do you think that Colt Cabana is in the same talent level? I'm not speaking microphone, I'm talking in-ring ability, talent level with CM Punk.
It's hard, because I'll tell you, I'm not a Colt Cabana fan, but I'm not huge on Colt Cabana. Yeah. I've seen matches where he has been technical and been phenomenal, and then I've seen matches like, wow, why did they waste time on him tonight? Like, he doesn't even look like he cares.
He should be putting the ring together next time that they show up in a new town.
100%. Yeah. I think he has a lot of potential, but it's almost like he's been in so long that, like, you expect him to have and give 100% every time he's in, opposed to whether or not it's a storyline or not.
I'm gonna take tonight off.
Guys. Right. Right.
You know?
So, I mean, to answer your question, when he's on, yes, I think he's on the same wrestling ability. I don't think he will ever be on the same microphone ability. God, there's no way. But yes, when he's on, he's on. But I don't necessarily know that they need an in-ring feud.
I'd be happy with a hug.
I would too.
Kiss on the cheek.
A high five.
Or just I need a tag team partner.
Oh, yeah. He's getting jumped by Sting
and
Darby Allin.
And nobody knows CM Punk in the back, and here comes Colt Cabana.
I fucking love it. I love that, actually.
Yeah.
That would be
boom, boom
very
hits,
cool.
And everybody just loses their shit.
That'd be a bigger pop than if Daniel Bryan would have come out with him.
100%.
At least for the purest fans.
My feeling on that is Daniel Bryan is going to choke out Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
I don't hate it.
What's the guy's name? Lambert from the UFC talks about shooting and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We got a real shoot boy coming in here, and he's going to twist your boys up, because Archer doesn't, if they're going to tag, who's Archer going to tag with?
Yeah.
Well, he kills everybody.
Here's my thing on that.
Like,
I don't necessarily think in how long AEW has been here, they necessarily need to be bringing in the UFC guys and this, that, and the other. That's my feeling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I get trying to get some of that mainstream and whatnot, but they've already generated that with the CM Punk debut. They've generated it with bringing Paul White over. I mean, they've generated it with Mark Henry. You don't necessarily need the UFC guys coming in. I don't know. It's just too early for me.
Well, see, that's what I mean. It's not even that. I don't want him to bring in the UFC guys. I want to see him stretch out Paige.
I would love it.
Because I love Ethan Page as this very, like, bravado-y, douchey.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio Sky just kind of looks like a nerd to me. Like, this week, I don't know if you saw it, like, Ethan Page, gorgeous man. Scorpio Sky had this nerd button-up on. I thought we were back in high school, and I was going to, like, I didn't know. It doesn't sell to me that he's this, like,
I don't know
I'm
what it is about
man
Ethan
of the
Page,
year.
His name. It
just makes me mad.
I think EC3 every time.
Yes, yes, all time. Every time. It's like, wait a second. Oh, no. Different guy. Yeah, different guy.
Because I'm like, is his middle name Carter? Is it Ethan Carter Pate?
It's speaking of which, do we think EC3 is going to end up in AEW?
No, he's I think he's with Ring of Honor.
He had that little short stint after WWE at Impact, and I thought that was some of his best work, to be honest.
Yeah, he did really good.
He's been doing a lot of stuff with personal training, like getting super fit.
Getting super fit?
Well,
wasn't...
He always was, but he was always big, but like if you thought he was shredded before, he's shredded.
I'm terrible.
Like, you see individual muscle fibers on this man's legs.
Have you seen the pictures of him? He's been doing competitions for, like, bodybuilding. Doesn't even look like him.
The Arnold Classic. I think he entered the Arnold Classic or something.
I'm pretty sure he placed in the top 10.
That's ridiculous.
Man, I don't know. I think EC3 could thrive in an AEW role.
I saw him in Ring of Honor. He had a feud with one of the Briscoes. And
I love the Briscoes.
Oh my God, so watching SmackDown, saw the Usos, instantly thought about the Briscoes. I was like, wow, the Briscoes would probably beat the crap out of you boys. Because the way that they were talking, I'm like, are y'all that Southern? Like, you're really playing into, oh, Uso, what's up? Like, are you from here?
Nah, player. Yeah.
Or Dax Hardcock and...
Oh, man, they are amazing. Dax the Axe.
Wax Peeler or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Good old Wax.
What? God, what's their name?
Cash Wheeler and Dax.
The Revival.
No, but not the Revival.
FTR.
FTR, thank you. Fuck the Revival.
Fuck the Revival. Tony saying that when they came in is one of my, like, most heartfelt moments.
Bro.
I always thought it was Fuck the Revival. And his little, like, light chuckle after the end. It just warms your heart.
Phenomenal.
His podcast with Aubrey Edwards, by the way, is excellent when they are doing it from their own homes, because Tony's wife will walk in. If you're watching on YouTube, Tony's wife will walk in and just kind of, she's got glasses and she kind of squints down, and for an oddly awkward amount of time while Tony's sitting there talking, does not pay her a bit of fucking attention.
He's a pro.
He's great.
He's like, like, he's my favorite of all time. Like, I love JR. But, I mean, it's Shivani for me.
Where's Mike Tenay now? What happened to that guy?
He was in Impact.
Yeah, really? I don't think he is anymore.
D'Lo
Brown.
Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts.
No, it is Justin Roberts. And it's D'Lo.
Dasha.
Is it D'Lo Brown on the mic now?
Yeah.
It's D'Lo and Stryker. Yeah, Matt Stryker.
Yeah, that's his name.
Fucking hate him.
God.
But I hate him because he's so good at making me hate him.
He was so sleazy when he was in WWE.
He's still so sleazy.
Gosh.
He's a slime ball. He is the Brad Maddox of Impact.
Why did they... We can't get into all this tonight, but on a future episode, let's do a whole episode on Brad Maddox. Why did they try to put him over so hard? And wow, did he end his career fast with the sex tape, Ray J.
I mean, have you seen the tape?
Yeah, I'm a wrestling fan.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I might I say,
yes,
Austin Creed.
Yeah,
Austin Creed.
But so here's the thing. Here's my question about this, and we'll jump back off of this because it's
positioning of the video camera.
We'll jump back off of this because it's completely irrelevant for what we were shooting for tonight. How the hell did that proposition happen? Like, I just don't see Brad Maddox, Paige, and freaking Xavier Woods in the same building at the same time being like, y'all want to do this?
I can tell you exactly how that happened.
Oh, I can't wait.
Paige, very young at the time, obviously a very sexually active person. Someone who doesn't exactly shy away from the idea.
Fair.
She got a little bit of blow from Austin Creed. A
lot of bit of blow.
We're playing some video games. Brad Maddox is like, hey, where are you guys staying tonight? That's how it happened. Brad Maddox comes, they're doing some blow, and all of a sudden there's a video camera. There's two video cameras because there's one taping the whole thing.
And one from the side.
And there's one where Brad Maddox is holding it while he's like squatted down like he's taking a piss.
Oh. Austin Creed's over here, up, down, up, up, down, up, up, down, down.
He's putting in codes. He's putting in video game
codes. Left, right, R2. Okay,
that's not a shoot. That happened.
This podcast has taken an incredible turn. So let's go back to where I guess we kind of had our thought processes. I know we were on the CM Punk thing. We've kind of hit that, this, that, and the other. Let's take a quick little left turn real quick. How do you feel after the CM Punk return the next night having Becky and Brock return?
Lackluster. But I knew it was going to be that way. Becky was not supposed to come back until around late September, early October. Those were the plans.
Mm-hmm.
Vince had to throw a Hail Mary.
Had to. Yeah.
He had, other than bringing in Hogan or being able to pay The Rock to come in and do something, he had to bring Becky back.
Both of them.
And I'm sure the payday for both of those people was huge. I know I had told you, and I told you what I told him. I texted Roadhouse and I said, Vince better call Brock Lesnar off the farm.
100%.
Say, I will give you $1 million to show up for 5 minutes and you don't have to touch anybody. And what the hell happened the next night?
He murdered John Cena.
Yeah, after the show. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But my question is,
can I murder Cena? Yeah, sure, whatever, Bob. Just
he did that
just
for free.
Here. Just
that
be
was
here.
Brock
yeah, exactly.
doing it for free.
Well, how did, before we get into a little bit more, how did you feel about it, Beef?
Like I told you guys, I mean, that the 15 for CM sounded louder than the 50.
Yeah,
they can try to paint it however they want. Like, oh, cool, Becky's back. We know why you did it. We completely understand why you did it. But it, for me, like we were talking pre-recording, like it's how they went about bringing her back. You buried Belair. It doesn't matter what you want to say. Yeah. You buried someone that you've been building, and people are clearly behind. Like, I think she's amazing. Like,
and she was one of the best genuine talents to come out of NXT with zero politics involved. There was no behind the scenes politics involved. Is she was an athlete. Who did she, when she was feuding with Bayley, was it Otis that she carried?
She picked him up and carried
Fireman's
him around.
Fireman's carried Otis.
But that's ridiculous. So they talk about wanting to build stars, and then you have one, and it's like, oh, we took a hit. Really, they don't even consider AEW competition, but we took a hit, so we need something quick. Well, you could have went about this in a more
delicate way.
Yes. Have her come in at the end, beat both of them up. Because even still, like I said, they were cheering her on Monday, like on SmackDown. Like, Becky.
In the match in a way where Belair keeps the belt, but technically, Becky wins. A DQ, Becky does something, spits in Belair's face, does something like that.
She loses it.
A dirty move. Belair loses it, gets DQ'd, comes out the next night on Raw, apologizes, says, I'm sorry, I let my fans down. And then that sets you up for another good match at the next pay-per-view.
And heel turn.
Yeah, exactly.
A really good heel turn.
And then they didn't exactly handle it well on SmackDown with the whole Belair coming down. I deserve a chance. And then the procession. No, I deserve a chance.
Well,
what about me?
It's what WWE does so great. Oh, there's so many big stars. Let's just do a triple threat. Just do a triple threat. We'll triple threat everything.
With the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like.
No, my thing.
All right, player.
Yeah, all right, player. my thing is, you know, I know Becky just had a baby, but she's been at tapings for what, 2 months before she finally returned? There were so many. I mean, I know nobody knew that whether CM Punk was going to show up or not. We all knew that. I mean, in our hearts, we knew.
Tony Khan for sure knew. He's like, my guy's going to be there.
In our hearts, we knew he was coming back.
In our heart of hearts.
Right. Perfect. But my thing is, if I'm Vince, why not create buzz before that night that CM Punk's coming back instead of trying to save your ass the next night? And I'm gonna be honest, I agree, CM Punk had one of the biggest pops in wrestling, if not the biggest pop in wrestling history.
Second biggest.
You think the Stone Cold one?
The Rock. The Rock's return at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
That's the biggest pop.
That's ridiculous.
That happened in Madison Square Garden. I was living in Madison, North Carolina, and I heard it from the venue.
I feel that. So do you think that CM Punk's pop was better than when Stone Cold came back? I believe it's 96, 97? Or maybe it was later than that.
Equal to, if not greater. Especially for, we keep saying, for 15,000 people.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Exactly.
And what's the minimum capacity for a Raw? It's like 65,000?
Easy.
Yeah.
They won't do a venue under, I think they said 30. I equate it to them having one of the greatest pops of all time. And then the next night we get Becky and Brock. You know, you would think with Brock coming back, you know, I know he's a huge draw. I know that some WWE fans are over it. This, that, and the other. I don't know how y'all felt, but in my honest opinion, I feel like Becky had a pop that was 3 times louder than Brock.
Yeah, I think it's because there's so many fans like myself and maybe like you guys too. Brock Lesnar's played out. He's not for the wrestling purist. And
right.
there are a lot of casual fans out there that they're the ones that are calling AEW, WCW 2.0, which is fine. Everybody has their opinion. If they're enjoying wrestling, I'm glad about
it. That's my point.
Just don't make somebody else feel bad for their own opinion about a sport that is, you know, predetermined.
Right.
Yeah. Not calling it fake because I love it. The athleticism
is unreal.
NFL players can't do this without training.
100%.
So I think because of so much of a mixed bag of people like us who watch whatever we can, whenever we can,
100%.
That Brock coming back just falls flat on its face. You know what's going to happen. He's going to come in. He's going to destroy everything. He's going to leave. What's great about this time that I hope is different on this current contract, yes, he has signed a contract. He has 8 whole matches in a year.
That's it.
8 matches. But before it was 2.
Right.
So he would come in, win a belt. You would see him at WrestleMania. You'd see him at SummerSlam. And
the big four.
And then somebody would take it off of him.
Right. So with that, do you think we're going to get, I don't know if y'all remember, like 2002 Brock, the next big thing Brock?
Yes.
Is that what we're getting?
I liked Money in the Bank Brock.
Yeah, where he was playing around?
The Brock Party.
Yes.
He's going to be a 100% goof.
I saw a great meme, and it's, I don't know about you guys, but I'm more terrified of Happy Brock than any other
100%.
Brock. 100%. Yeah, that guy's walking around smiling. You got to wonder who he murdered to make him so happy.
On that note, I don't know how y'all feel about him, but I think that R-Truth is one of the best of all time.
Did you see where he was basically talking crap back to CM Punk.
Yes.
Saying that he was a bigger... Yeah, that's a little delusional, maybe a little bit more like his character than he would care to admit.
I mean, he talks to an imaginary character named Jimmy.
I mean, he's amazing.
Jimmy's real.
How old is R-Truth? He's at 50?
445.
He's 50-something.
Yeah, he's old.
He's been doing it forever.
Great. And I remember watching him pre-ECW. There was something where I had to tune the big satellite dish at 3 a.m. on a Saturday night. Anyway, R-Truth's fucking wonderful as well.
Yes.
So let's kind of switch it up a little bit. And I've let you guys know my strong feelings on this. And I already know old Beef McGinnis is going to give me hell for this one. Because I'm sitting here during the podcast with the good old tie-dye rainbow Crocs on. But the new NXT rebranding. What are y'all's feelings? Let's start over here with Bishop.
I am the game!
Well, Triple H said it all for me. I'm hopeful. I was never one of those people that was like, oh God, NXT is so much better than WWE. I like NXT, but I never really cared a lot about it. There are some players in it, in NXT, who I really like. Imperium, Walter. I have read that they are going to go back to the developmental type thing where they're looking for the big guys. I can't remember who it was quoted as saying, no more midgets.
I think it was Khan.
Yeah, it was Khan.
Khan, yeah, and Khan. Vince agreed with it.
Well, Vince has always loved big guys. Yeah, so Khan, no relation to Tony.
Yeah, the lesser of the Khans.
Where did this guy come from anyway?
The fact that he has the last name Khan is just laughable.
He reminds me, with everything he's been doing, of the Star Trek, the Wrath of Khan. Like, yes. I picture, like, was it William Shatner? Damn you, Khan!
Yep.
100%.
Wrestling in shambles.
So obviously, you know, my strong feelings. I think that the watercolors are going to be just... It's almost as if, in my opinion, they're trying to gear it towards a kids type show, even though it's supposed to be developmental.
It looks like an iPhone background.
Oh, yes. It's Android over here.
Oh, I'm not talking shit. I'll talk shit about the iPhone commercials where it's all color splashes.
That's fair.
It's AMOLED. It's the newest thing. We're the new kids on the block. And then what I'm afraid of, that NXT has been doing so well, is delivering something fresh that WWE did not.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, apparently the ratings war broke them.
But that's not fair, though. AEW is so new. It's so fresh. It's the next big thing. And I don't care what you say, whether you're a WWE head, whether you're an AEW head, you're watching both to see what's going on.
But Vince's thing is, they are such a new thing. Why are they killing a product that I've had such great reviews about? The fans have been ranting and raving. Yes, he's a wrestling guy, but he's also a bottom line guy.
He's
and
a
that's
money
not
guy.
A Stone Cold reference. That's he's a money guy.
Right. So Beef, what are your feelings on this whole aspect?
I don't understand it per se.
Agreed.
You know, you got the Raw, they're red. If we're gonna keep it in the WWE house, it's Raw is red, SmackDown is blue, and now NXT is
pastel.
A Warhol. I don't get it. It's almost as if they wanna appeal to these younger kids, and it's like, how can we appeal to the younger kids, brothers?
And the only thing that I can really think of is equating it to Balor Club, where he had the t-shirts with the rainbow flag that said Balor Club is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great gimmick. And even Stephanie McMahon at one time, I think, wanted to make Balor's character homosexual.
Right. But here's my thing. If we're no longer going with the Adam Coles, the Kyle O'Reillys, the smaller guys that you can really get over, how in the absolute hell are you going to get these big, huge guys and then have the pastel rainbow colors? It makes no sense.
We'll see the
NXT thing. Underground.
Oh,
I hate you.
Take down the ring ropes, take down everything.
Well, see, that's my thing, too, is like with the Walter and Dragunov match, I heard someone talking about it.
Greatest of all time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and so how are you going to get something like that?
Neck slaps.
Again,
God.
When all of your people are 6'4", 300 pounds, you'll never have a little guy fighting in the manner that... God, he killed that man. Like,
and Dragunov's not a small guy.
It's like, ugh.
Now, listen.
Chest. Ugh.
I know that we're talking about the NXT rebranding, but we have to completely go off topic on that. And let's go into this match. This match, in my opinion, since the younger wrestling days... was wrestling personified.
Yes, the real deal. That could have killed you. I mean, Walter could murder you.
That was a shucky ducky quack quack match.
We had the technical aspect. We had the holy shit, how did he survive that chop aspect. We had the actual, you know, high flying from Dragunov. I mean, we had absolutely everything that you could ask for in a match. In my opinion, that's number one match of the year for the last 5 to 10 years.
That was a match that is equatable to what I watch in New Japan.
100%.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
I don't know shit about New Japan Pro Wrestling. Perfectly honest. I know enough that I can go on YouTube and look up these classic matches, some of the Will Ospreay matches, some of the... was it Kita?
Kita Ibushi?
Kita Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, yeah. Excuse me.
Some of his matches. And I don't know anything about the match or either character really coming into it. And I'm sitting there like, wow.
It's one of those that you can watch the match and not know the storyline and just be...
And know the story.
Amazed.
And realistically, I didn't know anything about the background between Dragunov and
Walter
anyway, because I don't watch that much of NXT to keep up with it.
Right.
Yep. That's the beauty of it, too, is them being able to tell everything that you needed to in that. I mean, that should be something that Vince looks at and is like, okay, all of our matches should look like this because we're able to tell that story and nobody pays attention to NXT UK.
I thought that was a real strength that Triple H and Shawn Michaels had given to NXT, is to give the stars the ability, or even William Regal. He's probably one of the biggest ones, including who's the British guy?
The announcer?
No. The one of the coaches. His daughter's name is Zaya Brookside.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So Robbie Brookside, I think he was very instrumental in that, of you build the storytelling in the ring before you do anything outside the ring for storylines carrying anything together.
That's to amplify.
Well, and see, let's talk about that, though, real quick. You touched on you didn't know the story, this, that, and the other. Now, I watched the first Dragunov-Walter match. Also phenomenal. I don't think it was a drop in the hat compared to the one we just had. But I'm also not a huge NXT UK guy. I know the people there just because every now and then I'll go back and I'll check it out.
Never watched it. Never seen a single episode of that
either.
Or the, what was the Cruiserweight show that they had?
205 Live. They never, still never. Actually do that, even though there's like three Cruiserweights.
Yeah, I've never watched that. I've never watched
Main Event.
Yep.
But it's the Main Event.
But so
of what?
Right.
That's what I'm asking.
Nothing. Of nothing.
The prelims.
But so here's the thing, though.
It's the Olympics before the Olympics.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I hate you. Here's the thing, though. I was
skateboarding is a sport.
So into this match, not because they did all these vignettes beforehand to tell us the history, not because I am a Ilya Dragunov huge fan or a Walter huge fan, even though I do love Walter, but because within the first 3 minutes of this match, a story began. In the next 10 minutes, the story continued. In the last 10 minutes of this match, you had a solid beginning, middle, and end. And you, I don't know about y'all, but I was on the edge of my seat the whole time because, yeah, I mean, some people aren't huge on the you know, false finishes and the 1-2. Oh, it was 2 seconds from winning, but like, they did it in a way to where it didn't feel to me like a false finish. It felt to me like this can't stop right now.
Yep. It's an art, the art of it.
Yes. I wouldn't say that I was on the edge of my seat with it, but I kept waiting on the ref to raise his arms in the X. Like,
oh, 100%.
Like Dragunov, his sternum is in his spine now. We can't go on. I'm going to go back to it. Those freaking neck chops.
Did you see the after picture?
Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like that.
What blows my mind, you know, I once again, I'm not saying it's fake. I love wrestling. But, you know, there's a lot of things where it's a leg slap. There's a lot of things where it's like, it sounds awful, but it's not. Yeah. Those are real freaking chops.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing to, the first thing that I'll bring to people. Oh, well, it's fake. Oh, so I can open hand slap you in the face. No, but it's fake. So I can slap you open-handed.
We're just acting.
In the face.
So here's my thing. I'm friends with AEW star Griff Garrison.
Oh.
Not a plug. Not a
Name
plug.
Drop.
But I asked him, you know, what's the worst about everything? You know, like, what do you hate taking the most? He goes, you know, chops are pretty bad. But here's the thing. The worst pain I've ever been in wrestling was another name drop, LeBron Cozone, giving me a chop to my back.
I was going to bring up the chops to Dragunov's backs because there was reports that, oh, Dragunov couldn't sleep after the match, and yet I imagine so with Walter's handprint welting up on your back, it wouldn't be fun to try to sleep.
And his chest bloody and his neck bloody.
Hey, could you just repeatedly smack me open hand? No.
Well, I would need a sedative.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When he was done, it looked like he had the best sex of his life. Like, my man just hickeys everywhere. Like, yeah. I have no clue. I mean, he was so emotional after the match, but was he emotional because he won, or was he emotional because he just got the actual shit beat out of him?
And I'm going to tell you, I'm only a Walter fan because of his theme music.
Oh, it's beautiful.
When I first saw him, I was like, what is this fat baby in a diaper?
100%.
Does not see without a mustache-looking guy doing the wrestling ring. I saw what he could do in the wrestling ring, and then I was like, oh, his theme music, he's got to be somebody good. Ilya Dragunov, I just think Ilya is just this random Russian character, and it brings to mind the old, from an old meme. In Mother Russia, you do not choose Pikachu. Pikachu chooses you. Yes.
I love it. Do you think Walter's the character he is, though, without the rest of the Imperium stable?
Where's the character? He just gets in there.
He's just a guy that wants to slap you in the chest.
He gets it. He is the UK, he's strong style UK.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's not his character. That is his brand. Yeah. Like, I don't see him wrestling any other way. You can teach him to flip. You can teach him to do
ass flips, I'm marking.
Brock Lesnar did it. That's all I'm saying. It went
to his forehead.
It went horribly. But, I mean, you picture Walter doing a Kushigiroshi.
Oh, dear God.
A Canadian destroyer.
I would
Cena learned it after 15 years.
Luchasaurus did one. I mean, they hit him one with
that looked
that
great.
Was that whole match was one of the most ridiculous things.
On that note, let's go a little bit different. What are your thoughts on Luchasaurus?
So I heard a story personally, you want to name drop. Know a couple of guys that work with AML.
Yes,
and
yes,
he
yes.
had a match. And he didn't catch Billy Brash, so it's fuck Luchasaurus. I like him as a character. He's a great worker. But, like, there was a instance, I believe, this week where he just, like,
missed.
Looked like he moved. Like, didn't even want to bother to try to. And you're that big. That's what we need you there for.
I get what you're saying. He looks a little ADHD
100%.
In the ring. Like, I catch him daydreaming, it seems like.
I like him, but I'd much rather like Jungle Boy and Marco as a tag. So, that's more intriguing to me.
And Marco's stunt hasn't been doing much here lately.
Which sucks. I think he's
hurt.
And one thing that pisses me off about a Facebook group that I'm in for All Elite Wrestling is the All Elite Wrestling Facebook group. Is they talk so much crap about Marco's stunt and then want to say they don't put over any of the young guys. Well, they need to fire Marco's stunt. What? He's not going to be a heavyweight champion, by God. No, he weighs 32 pounds.
He's good at what he likes.
That's soaking wet.
He's three apples tall.
I hate you.
That's the size of a Smurf, if nobody knows.
Speaking of Luchasaurus, just in case you guys have never seen him without a mask, please search that.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, this dude has a nose like Pinocchio.
He looks like he has a history degree
without the
mask.
There's no nose in the mask, and it still pokes the mask out.
100%.
It's like Triple H. His nose gets to a venue 5 minutes before he does.
I hate you.
I think that's an old line from The Rock and The Nation of Domination when they were doing a parody of DX.
Let's go more so onto the fact of All Out. How do you guys feel about it? I mean, it's a freaking stacked card.
I actually wrote it down before we came over here. There's like 8 or 9 matches, and it's probably going to go like 5 hours long.
So here's my thing. Every match...
It's the length of one of the Undertaker's entrances.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's the thing. It is a stacked card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's going to be great. I think that everything on it is going to be great, but I don't know how AEW has made me actually care about a Paul White and QT Marshall feud.
I can't speak for him, but I am not with you in this.
I'm 100% in.
He reminds me of my adopted dad, so it kind of kills it there for me. Like, I see him on the screen, I'm like, oh, what a shitty person.
Which one, QT Marshall?
I'm sorry, Paul White, yes. Okay. Bald, goatee, looks just like my adopted dad. No, 6 foot. You know, it's the head for me.
The big old head.
Yeah, it's like, you know, bald, goatee. That's what it is for me. But honestly, like, I'm okay with it as long as it's not a 15-minute match. If it's like a 3-minute, QT gets a little bit in, and then he just knocks him cold out.
Does he use the choke slam, or does he use...
I think he knocks him out, and maybe a go-go comes back. And maybe drops Paul White, because...
I wouldn't hate that
idea. I mean, you want to do it with Floyd Mayweather, why not do it with a go-go in AEW?
Bishop, what do you think about a go-go after that match with, what was it, Cody Rhodes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, garbage storyline. One of the worst storylines in AEW.
Should not have wasted the American Dream
on
quote
that.
On that. 100%.
I was happy that he got to use it, but I was like, wow, what a crappy moment to use it.
I get what Cody was trying to do with a lot of the turmoil in the U.S. and some of the anti-American sentiment from both outside and inside the country. However, I think it was gone about wrong, especially when Anthony Ogogo came in, and from the first time I heard him speak, I hated him.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was before.
Right.
I hate his name. Okay, Ogogo, are you a go-go dancer?
Right.
What are you?
Yeah, like, who art thou?
Like, I kept saying what to the TV every time somebody would say Anthony Ogogo.
You should totally hit the... We missed the sound clip. We had a good sound clip for the Steve Austin what.
That's okay. I enjoy my own impressions. They're horrible, but I smell what you're cooking.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down, digging what you're shoveling.
You'll find that in these big jobs.
Hey, you know what? I hear you, brother. I know that you said, Beef, that you're not sold on it, and you don't want it to be a long match. Don't get me wrong, I also don't want this to be a 15-minute, because no matter what, it's not going to be an instant classic. We all three know that. There's no instant classic. But let's be on the other side of this. When he's Big Show and he came on WWE programming, I changed the channel. Yeah. Honestly?
No, I didn't.
Really?
I've liked him since The Giant.
Now, see, I love The Giant. Don't get me wrong.
I'm an Andre guy, and I ever since he came in and, you know, debuted in WWE in that cage match, I've been invested. I haven't always liked his character,
right,
especially the way that he flip-flops week to
week
from heel to face.
That was
going to
be
face.
My thing about it, is it's so, I mean, if we could pin down, like, if you're going to be the angry big man, I'm down for
be
Paul
the angry
White,
big man.
The angry big man that wants to avenge Tony Schiavone,
now,
but you being this,
I've made sense of it in my own mind, so I don't go insane, is that he's bipolar. He's the angry giant. He's the gentle giant. I just want to see him as a jolly green giant for once.
Just come out painted green.
Come out painted green. Cover
green
yourself and look like the Tidy Bowl Man, for God's sakes.
I honestly wouldn't hate that idea.
In the Captain Insano gear.
And me, Captain. Oh, make Captain Insano. Like I've been saying, like, I switched programming when it was Big Show. Now, since he's been Paul White, I think he's been phenomenal at the commentary desk.
No more BS.
Right.
The
no more.
I love that gimmick. It's like, fuck the revival. No more BS. No more Big Show. I love it.
Yeah.
Be better if it's Captain Insano.
Oh, Captain Insano.
Get Adam Sandler on commentary with Jericho. That's
all. Adam Sandler and Jericho on commentary would be golden.
But the best thing would be if Adam Sandler totally fucked up and was like, came in as Little Nicky.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he looks like he got hit in the face with a shovel.
Oh. Oh, but Captain Insano.
Is Darby Allin here?
I hate you. I don't know. Just the Paul White, I feel like he's finally being him. And so, you know, even when he came to the ring with QT Marshall and they're trying to make him the big badass guy, like, gave me shades of not the Big Show, but the WCW giant.
I did pop when he climbed over the top rope. I was like, you climb over that top
rope,
Paul. And he
still got it.
You know? Yeah. And he's one of the few that's a genuine giant. He's one that would not partake in the Billy Gunn effect.
Right.
He's not a guy that you put them in the ring.
I want you to explain the Billy Gunn effect real quick. Two for two, baby.
The Billy Gunn effect is you can put any big man that you have on your roster in a ring with Billy Gunn and they will instantly look like a child. It's happened with Lance Archer most recently, like we talked about with Nick Comoroto. I mean, that's a big, beefy boys. And by the name, you know, I love beefy boys. But you put Billy Gunn in that ring and you're like, aw, Nick Comoroto's so cute. Look at him there with... Jesus, is that Billy Gunn?
Yes.
I went to, that's not Nick Comoroto. Why is Billy Gunn in the ring with the lead singer of Coheed and Cambria is who he was in the ring with.
Oh, dear God, this guy. But so here's my thing. The funniest part about the whole Billy Gunn effect that just really, like, so we're in a Facebook group and it really just hit home for me and tickled the shit out of me was me and Bishop were like, what is this guy talking about? The Billy Gunn effect. And then we get a picture of Billy Gunn with all of DX, and it looks like a dad with all of his kids. And yes. I'm like, holy crap, that is the Billy Gunn effect.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And we saw him live in Charlotte when we went. I mean, there were very few men that, like, when you looked at them, you're like, wow, that's a massive man. And he was one that you're like, wow.
He built different.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's like neither one of his kids are built the same. Because
at all.
Austin's, like, stocky.
But he ain't Billy Gunn.
Big as Billy.
No.
Now, I made the comment that if Colton could put on like 145 pounds,
yeah,
that's Billy Gunn 2.0, but my man is a bean.
You just touched on it. You went to the AEW show in Charlotte. Just how was that? Tell us about it.
So for me, it was absolutely amazing. Third row, great tickets. We actually sat three seats from the AML owner, Tracy. Which was crazy.
Love Tracy, by the way.
Absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal guy.
He sits down and we're like, so what are the odds
of us? Was he wearing the tux and the top hat?
No, I wish though.
Oh, he missed it.
His son had an MDK, and my man was definitely Nick fucking Gage all day.
Yes.
Like, I'm pretty sure he was on cable about it. Like, Nick Gage was like pointing at my guy. Loved it.
So touching on that, first of all, huge surprise, Nick fucking Gage.
Whoever would have thought? You would see Nick
on
Gage
on cable TV.
Well, other than on Dark Side of the Ring,
well, or the news,
or the news for going to jail.
Well, that's local. We'll say syndicated.
JR with the I thought that man was in jail line is possibly one of the.
Oh yeah, that's by God, he's dead.
Second to the absolute best line I've ever heard in pro wrestling with. She looks like Baby from House of 1,000 Corpses.
When
and the announce team lost their shit.
And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that was absolutely
And
phenomenal.
Then you go back to Michael Cole on Monday Night Raw, who said, welcome to Monday Night Dynamite.
Oh, dear.
Did he really?
He did.
Oh, you missed that?
Yeah, I did hear him say pound and ground, which is like one of my favorite things to say now.
Pounding instead of ground and pound.
Yeah, he pounds and grounds.
So, yeah, right in the middle. It was a Dynamite episode, right? Right in the middle of it, he says, welcome back to, what was it, WWE Dynamite?
JR.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah, I do. It was at the end of that one because it was the Daily's place where they had the montage. And it was like, oh. And then he was like, well, thank you for joining WWE Dynamite. It's like, ooh, JR killing the moment.
You done fucked up. I think that AEW has done a good job of covering stuff like that up because you go back to this week's Rampage and you have... Mr. Pink Suit, Mr. Pepto-Bismol out there.
The living laxative.
And he compared himself to, verbatim, Vince McMahon. Called Vince McMahon by name on AEW TV and gave zero F-U-C-Ks.
Is he actually employed is the question, because Impact fired him, so what is he actually employed doing? He can do whatever he wants.
But is it
he bought a ticket. He's there because he bought a ticket.
Is it a storyline, or is he going to be all invested and all in?
Well, does he still run Stampede?
That's a great question.
Does he?
I know he used to book and
I don't
own.
Think so.
I think he's done with that. I think that he moved on.
Is Stampede even a thing anymore?
That was my question.
I just know from legend of Stampede. I don't think so.
I think it's done. Yeah.
So, okay. That was a huge tangent.
Dandy Don Callis.
I hate it.
God, it was beautiful.
It's such a beautiful man with his
rose-colored
sunglasses.
Yo, my favorite part of this whole...
He can sell used cars.
I hate you. This whole... run with Kenny Omega, still to this day, my favorite part of the whole thing was when I believe that they were at Don Callis' residence or Kenny Omega's residence. I can't remember which one. And it just shows a picture of Don Callis and Kenny Omega.
Shirtless. You can buy that as a shirt, and I want to wear it to when I have my wedding. That's going to be my suit.
It's beautiful.
It's like...
They're too beautiful.
As a side note, I cropped a picture of Roadhouse and my face onto a Les Sex God t-shirt.
That's
beautiful. It was just a gorgeous moment. So back to the Charlotte show.
So my big complaint with that, when we were talking about Kenny Omega, would be that I didn't get to see him in his gear, because I'm a gear guy.
Yeah.
I love people rocking new gear, special gear, anything like that. So for me, Kenny being my favorite, him coming out in some Jordans, although I'm not disappointed in seeing him in basketball shorts and Jordans, I would have loved to have seen the full get-up, you know, the music. I love battle. I mean, that's...
On that note, right now I'm putting you on the spot. Greatest wrestling gear in the wrestling profession. Go.
Right now?
Right. Let's do a...
Max Caster.
Okay, and then let's do an of all time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a hard
all
one, huh?
Time?
See, and I'm going to tell you, all time, my right now is going to be Seth Rollins. I love... The White Power Ranger.
White,
I love all of his
all
different thoughts.
Is,
yeah.
The white gear was amazing, but all time?
My all time? I think it's going to have to be Sting for me.
It's Penta. Penta's Joker gear, God. First of all.
The
Penta,
Joker gear.
That was my top moment from the night, was I made eye contact with Penta during a Zero Miro chant. Cock got extremely erect. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
Couldn't get it to go down. Highlight of my night. But Penta's gear... Anytime that they come out, it's just...
Cero Miero, dos inches.
Exactly. Like, it was just, we locked eyes, and it was just like...
It's just a beautiful moment.
Titanic music was playing. It was amazing. But it would be Penta, because
it's
the way
beautiful.
That he... Yeah.
Everything he does...
His little up to Luchasaurus, how he just crept up to him, like...
I wish y'all could see the
the prance.
The prance that we just got right now during the podcast of... Of old Beef giving us the Prince impression. That was
so beautiful. Yeah,
it would
definitely
it would make you ladies out there want Beef
Little
McGinnis
moist.
Give you the Beef Piston.
Hey. So Charlotte, let's go back to Charlotte. I know we keep getting off tangent, but it's been fun.
Yeah, Charlotte, that bitch scares me.
That's a man.
I'm just kidding.
That's a man.
She is terrifying.
What was the reaction? What was it like being in the crowd when MDK Nick Gage comes out for the first time on national television? And just take me through that match and how everybody just kind of reacted. The pizza cutter, the broken glass. Give me your feelings.
So we got there 2 hours before the show actually started. So we're out there. I'm talking little children, 5-year-olds are chanting Nick fucking Gage.
No way.
I'm looking at them like, oh my God, Andrew, you're about to get smacked. Please don't do this.
Yeah.
And mom's just like, oh, he's so great. So for me, the MDK thing, it was an experience, because you could tell that there was people that were like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
But like I said, Tracy's kid was totally here for
MDK'd
it.
Like, out.
I mean, my man could have jumped the barricade.
No.
From the way that he was reacting.
That's
it was
awesome.
Beautiful. So, but, like, to see that on TV and for them to air that, like, might I say, I had a buddy. I was like, yo, I'm in Charlotte. I need you to watch the show. I'm going to try to get on TV.
Which you did.
Which I did.
Was Charlotte the Jericho versus Gate?
Yes,
match?
It was Fight for the Fallen.
He was there. He was third row.
And let me interject on that one. Roadhouse and I were supposed to be, but I'm poor, so we're going to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
So we can bring you more of this great content.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I would love to do a lot more, not even just local. I mean, like you said, you've mentioned the AMLs. We've been to a couple of the Firestar Pro Wrestlings.
Yes, good stuff.
But not just that, like... Just even traveling, even when we're there in Virginia, whether it be AEW, WWE.
I saw that show, and they had Hangman on the graphic, and my woman, who religiously actually watches AEW with me, just looked at me and goes, the pop.
Yeah.
Because she gets it. She understands, like, he's going to be home. And I wouldn't be surprised if they held off on bringing him back until Virginia. What's he going to do it all out?
So, Beef. Mr. McGinnis, if I may, the Charlotte show, as I said before, is one that that Roadhouse and I were trying to make it to. It just didn't line up with we ran out of month before we had paycheck to
them
to
damn
last.
Paychecks. Yeah. They didn't come fast enough, man.
I tell you, we'll talk about come fast enough, and we'll go back to that Austin Creed video. anyway, sorry, Brad Maddox. I want to ask one question about that Nick Cage Chris Jericho match, and I know that you were sitting there with a shit-eating grin on your face whole thing,
three rows back,
when the pane of shower glass went on the chairs.
Oh.
And you knew in your mind what was about to happen, but you really didn't.
No, for sure. I honestly thought... Go ahead. Sorry.
No. You're good. When Chris Jericho did the... Was it a Hurricane Rana?
Yes.
And his toes accidentally hit the edge of that. I was watching on TV and I was like... And I paused it.
It was millimeters from a gory horror scene.
Yes. The lip of his rest, just the little sewn in lip of the toe of his wrestling boot.
It was done.
Hit that. Oh. And I was like, somebody's going to the fucking hospital.
Yes. Yes.
I saw that pane of glass. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So my thing was, I didn't know how far Jericho would take it.
Yeah. Because,
he doesn't. He doesn't have to do any of this,
or
technically speaking.
How far TNT allow you to take
it. And that's where I was going. Yeah, I didn't think so much Jericho. I knew Jericho would be all in just because he's a business type person, yeah, and this would help the business. I was more worried of how much is TNT going to allow to show. And then, side note, how phenomenal was it that the pizza commercial right after the pizza cut?
There was so much backlash.
They
so
literally much. Could not have timed that better, which tells you that they did not time it.
Exactly.
Because there's no way in this world that you could have been like, all right, at exactly this moment,
100%.
Nick Gage is going to get the pizza cut, which you knew he was going to use like three of them. So that was one of my emotions that I had was, Aubrey took one from him. I'm like, what? And then he pulls another one out. I'm like, my guy came with like four pizza cutters in the camo pants.
And it's not like they had ushers going around the crowd handing out slices of Domino's, right?
No, yeah. So, I mean, they should have been thankful for the plug, honestly.
It was a huge plug.
If somebody, like John Moxley said, if somebody can sell you some pizzas, Nick fucking Gage.
Domino's apparently was mad because of the way the plug was done.
They were angry.
And then there was later leaks that WWE
were the ones pushing the story.
The story, and in contact with Domino's executives.
Shouldn't you
apparently,
guys be angry?
Apparently Vince McMahon and his shareholders, of course, know some Domino's shareholders. Mm-hmm. Imagine
annoying.
That rich guys knowing rich guys. How does that happen?
Annoying.
But yeah, so like that was my thing, was him, how, because you know, like you said, yeah, he's going to do it for the business, but Jericho didn't need to do any of it.
Didn't
so,
have to.
When they got the pane of glass out, I'm like, oh, man, they're really about to do
something.
They're
going for it.
And he did the Hurricane Rana. I'm like, first of all, Jericho did a Hurricane Rana from the top rope. Can we enjoy that for a moment? Like, this is Lionheart status. I literally just watched the Eddie Guerrero-Jericho match from 97.
Beautiful match.
Fall brawl from Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
I've watched that whole pay-per-view about...
Amazing.
There. Were you really?
That was the Ric Flair head slam in the cage, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it was the...
War Games,
yeah.
Yep. Yes. I have watched that pay-per-view at least 10 times.
That was my first pay-per-view.
I legitimately watched that match two nights ago.
No way. Your first one ever.
That was my first one ever, yeah.
Was that your first live event ever or first pay-per-view?
That was the first...
Anything
that
that
I had...
The start.
I think I had gotten into pro wrestling maybe 3 to 6 months before that. I got in right before Sting fully came out. I got into wrestling as Sting was coming in before he fully painted his face. He had the cutout over the mouth.
Oh.
That was when I...
So he was still Colorful Sting.
Yeah.
I never saw him wrestle as Colorful Sting.
Oh, that was
He was on his break.
Like the hiatus.
The hiatus, the whatever month period it was before he came back as the Crow Sting.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'd never seen the Crow, and I'm like, this is cool shit.
Yeah, it's cool as hell.
And then some of the other guys were like, well, I'm over here watching Bret Hart. And I would change the channel. I'm like, nah, that ain't for me, bro.
Well, and see, that's the thing. What's cool about the situation we have now is we don't have time restraints where now that everybody's in their own time slot on TV that we have to miss anything.
Yep.
Like if you look back at the Monday Night Wars, you had to flip back and forth record or do whatever on a VCR and VHS.
That's where I was going with that. This is the difference that I see now is the effort to watch both is not there. And that's difference between the generation that I'm in. And I'm 36 years old.
And I'm 31.
30,
so we're close by,
right?
So we all grew up with VCRs, but I had to, you know, change to put the tape in for this hour, make sure my parents didn't want to record this on another channel. Yeah, yeah. I would catch sporadically, I would tape WWE and watch, or WWF, excuse me, not the World Wildlife Foundation.
Get the F out.
And I would, you know, I would make the effort. I would plan it. I would have to plan to watch wrestling. And now's not the case. You just set your DVR and
like
you watch.
Just like I said, I watch all of it because I record it all.
You watch whatever.
Ring of Honor, all of it, anything that comes on.
Watch whatever, whenever, wherever. And I think that's a big difference between fans of our generation and fans of a new generation who can shit on anything anytime they want to.
Right.
Is because they put no effort into what they watch.
100%.
Sorry for my soapbox.
No, it's, no. It's cool. And I respect that thought process on it. But my thing is, what's cool about being a freaking wrestling fan right now, you have the ROHs, Ring of Honors, you have the Impact, you have the WWEs, the AEWs, you have the New Japans. I mean, you have our local AMLs, you have our Firestar Pro Wrestlings. I mean, there's so much to do with wrestling right now. And what's cool about it, it almost makes me think that everybody's in cahoots, which is a whole different tangent and story.
And you and I, Roadhouse, have had that conversation
many a times.
Man, and we've had a lot of late night what ifs.
Yeah. Yeah. Of the quote unquote forbidden door that we have talked about multiple times. But here's the thing. As a wrestling fan now, you have 5 days a week, and if there's pay-per-views on the weekend or if there's a local show on the weekend, you have 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's cool about being a wrestling fan now that I don't think would have worked back when there was the Monday Night Wars. You know what I'm saying? Because the Monday Night Wars would not have been the Monday Night Wars
if there was more
with DVR.
Yep. Right.
They would not have been.
Oh, yeah.
They would have been, okay, well, I'm going to watch WWF this week and tape WCW because I know something big's going to happen on WWF. Yeah, exactly.
And that's another thing that I don't understand about these ratings and how AEW won the Wednesday Night Wars, is what they're calling it, is because I start everything late. I have an under one-year-old baby, and that's when everything starts is about the time that he's wanting to go to bed.
Agreed.
And I'm the one that puts him to sleep. So I start everything very late, and I DVR everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch Monday Night Raw. So, I watch NXT, generally. I watch Dynamite. I watch Rampage.
So how are they getting those numbers, though?
Right. But I can't watch SmackDown because I don't pay for cable. I'm on Sling TV. I have, and here's a hack for you guys that want to watch SmackDown and have a Roku. Go download the Fox Now app. It will allow you 1 hour of programming, and then it times out. Once it times out, delete the app. Go in and re-download the app, and you will be able to see another 59 minutes of programming, and you can watch SmackDown. And that's what I do.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, the thing is, I also want to hear what you have to say, Beef, because me and Bishop have had many of conversations of the Forbidden Door, and we've had many of conversations of, you know, they've made all this to where it's in certain time slots and nobody's overlapping anymore. What if there is no Forbidden Door anymore, and you know, they keep telling us that, you know, they're not worried about each other. In the end game is that we're all together. And everybody's in the same thing.
And Vince McMahon owns it all.
God, I hope not.
That would be the worst. But so my thing is that you have to look at, ironically enough, Samoa Joe just made comments about this, the whole Forbidden Door. And he's apparently not a fan.
Samoa Joe, side note, best theme song
in
Joe, pro wrestling
Joe.
Today. Maybe ever, except for Sting when he came out to Seek and Destroy by Metallica.
Now I agree with what you just said, but only person or persons in the running with that have to be Imperium.
But two different ends of the spectrum, right?
100%.
Yes.
And not getting off on a side note, that's just an opinion that we're going to insert right there. Imperium, Samoa Joe.
Why not?
Why not?